This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. It's estimated that up to 4 in 10,000 people in the U.S. have sarcoidosis, an inflammatory disease that affects multiple organs in the body, but mostly the lungs and lymph glands. It can vary in its intensity from mild to severe, and in some cases can even lead to death. Well, here to tell us more about this disease and what can be done to treat it is Dr. Michael Iannuzzi. He's professor and chair of medicine at Upstate Medical University, specializing in pulmonary medicine. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So help us understand. Let's begin by helping us understand what exactly is sarcoidosis.
So as you said so well, it is an inflammatory disease, and the inflammation can occur in just about any organ in the body, as you mentioned. And it involves the lungs in over 90% of patients who have the disease. We don't know what starts the inflammation, what initiates the problem. And the inflammation is a particular kind of inflammation which we call granulomas. Now,
what does that exactly mean?
So to get you a picture in your mind, if you just imagine a water bowl on the floor and a dozen puppies all around that water bowl trying to get to it. Granulomas are the white cells in the body, specifically the lymphocytes and what we call macrophages, around a potential pathogen trying to eat it. And just as these puppies are trying to squeeze their way in and circling around the water bowl, the macrophages and lymphocytes are circling around some yet-to-be-identified pathogen, and these cascading circular cell buildup that form these granulomas.
Are they little masses then?
They're little masses of cells, and these little masses of cells then wreak their havoc by being there and interfering with the normal architecture of the organ, and then in interfering with its architecture can, in some cases, interfere with its function.
So in other words, this is something with the immune system gone awry.
Yes, it is an immune disorder. It is a hypersensitivity type of reaction where the immune system is turned on to a greater extent than it should be.
And as a result, these granulomas form. They get in the way of the functioning, both physically and potentially functionally, of a particular organ.
Yes.
And in the case of the lungs, what do they do?
So in the lungs, they build up, these granulomas build up in the lymph nodes, which result in no significant problem nearly all the time that they do occur. But it can get into the lung substance and in the airways of the lung. And that leads to loss in lung function.
Okay. What are the symptoms when we were talking about? Obviously, it depends on where you find them. But what kinds of symptoms can you expect to have?
Fatigue, sweating, weight loss, chest discomfort, shortness of breath, cough, joint aches, skin rashes. Those are the predominant symptoms.
It sounds like it's almost anything. It's pretty wide-ranging.
Yes, and I should point out that a large percentage of patients may have no symptoms, and the disease is detected when a chest x-ray is obtained for some other reason, screening physical exam or for some other complaints, and the enlarged lymph nodes or abnormalities in the lung itself are detected.
So there's a really a great variability, even in terms of how the symptoms show themselves over time.
Yes, and that's what makes it confusing to many physicians and healthcare providers who face patients with these nonspecific symptoms and often don't think about sarcoidosis when the patient presents with these symptoms that are difficult to pinpoint any one disease.
And sometimes they can begin suddenly or severely and then go away, and then they can come back. So that also must be very befuddling to the healthcare provider.
Yes, it can be an acute form, which can also involve vision, blurry vision, photophobia, the light hurting the eyes, as well as a skin rash and joint aches. Or it can be very insidious, not feeling well for months.
Yeah, that would be very difficult, I would think, to diagnose. And maybe people would be prone to thinking, well, it's all in my head, or I just have a kind of a little cold and it'll go away kind of thing.
Yes.
So do we know what causes it?
We don't know what caused it. We suspect that it's something in the air, something we breathe in. And the reason we suspect it's something in the air is because more than 90% of patients have lung involvement, so we breathe in the air.
So that would be the first site in many cases.
In many cases, but also the other common sites are the eyes and the skin, which are both always
exposed to the air.
So because of that pattern of organ involvement, we suspect it's an airborne
pathogen. But we really have no clue at this point as to what it is.
No, it happens all over the world. It happens in all climates. And for that reason, it's escaped us what the cause is.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Michael Iannuzzi, and we're talking about sarcoidosis. Well, who's most at risk for this disease?
Young women, their 20 to 40s, are the highest, and African-American women have the highest risk for sarcoidosis, but it clearly can involve anyone at any age.
Do we think that because you mentioned the African-Americans have a higher rate, that there's some genetic predisposition to developing it?
Yes, we do, and we know that African-Americans more commonly have relatives, siblings and cousins, parents and children with sarcoidosis. So that led us to think more about this being a genetic predisposition to whatever is out there that we're all exposed to. In a lot of ways, it's a lot like, say, hay fever. We're all exposed to pollen, but not all of us react to it.
How is the disease diagnosed currently? I mean, how do you know? Because what I think I'm hearing from everything you're saying, it's almost like a mystery disease. It can be mistaken for any number of other diseases, and it can come and go, and you don't even know you've had it.
There's three components to making the diagnosis: the clinical presentation, the signs and symptoms that the patient presents with, radiographic features, the imaging that shows a collection of these granulomas resulting in alteration of the way an organ looks on radiology.
And so you might have, excuse me for interrupting, so you might have something in the lung, in a chest x-ray that shows some kind of pulmonary infiltrates or something in the lungs, or in the lymph nodes, some change.
Yes, that's the characteristic feature, is the chest x-ray abnormality. And then the third is by histologic confirmation or biopsying an affected organ and seeing these granulomas under the microscope.
So that's definitive.
I mean, that is what's required to make the diagnosis.
What do you do to treat it?
So,
and how often is it necessary to treat?
About a third of patients who have sarcoidosis, the disease comes and goes on its own, and within 1 or 2 years, often doesn't require more than an aspirin-like medication for joint aches or discomforts. A third of patients, the disease can come and last for 5-7 years and then require some anti-inflammatory medication, such as steroids, prednisone. And then there's alternative drugs that we use to help minimize the use of steroids. And there are several different types of drugs, including intravenous medication, that we can try to modulate the immune system. And a third of patients, the disease can progress, and our therapy may not be as effective in those patients.
How do How does your health play a role? In other words, are there other things that are just in terms of good health practices can help you fight this kind of disease or do better if you have it?
There are several things. One is to be in the best physical shape one could be in with exercise and diet. Having good exercise and keeping the respiratory system in as good a shape, the cardiovascular system and the respiratory system in as good a shape as possible, helps mitigate the symptoms of shortness of breath on exertion or shortness of breath, to keep one's weight at the ideal body weight, and to have a good sleep pattern. And
so generally, all the things that you would want to do to maintain good health. And how about smoking? Smoking, it seems to me,
smoking is absolutely forbidden.
Yeah, that would make real problems in the lungs.
It definitely adds fuel to the fire.
So what generally do you see in your practice in terms of the natural history of this kind of disease and the types of people that you treat?
Well, we see the whole spectrum of the disease, from patients in whom the disease was just detected on a chest X-ray and are asymptomatic and don't require much other than occasional monitoring, to people with severe involvement resulting in respiratory failure or cardiac failure, or even involving the neurologic system. So we see at Upstate the full gamut of patients. Perhaps because we're more of a referral center, we see the patients who are more severe.
But it can have lasting complications if it's untreated or if it's undiagnosed. Is that correct? So if you think you, I guess, what's the takeaway here?
The takeaway is for patients and their physicians to consider the disease when they present with these symptoms and signs, and to consider referring for further evaluation to clarify the diagnosis.
Yeah, it sounds to me like there are so many organ systems that could be affected, and you could have long-lasting problems with the lungs. I read somewhere that you could even have blindness with the eyes if it's untreated, heart problems, kidney problems, as you said, central nervous system problems. And because it masks itself, or it's somewhat unclear as to what it is, unless it's diagnosed, you really could, if left untreated, you could really end up in trouble.
Yes, and many patients tell us that they have been bouncing around for months before the correct diagnosis was arrived at.
Well, thanks so much for coming in with all this very interesting and important information. My guest has been Dr. Michael Iannuzzi. He's professor and chair of medicine at Upstate Medical University, specializing in pulmonary medicine. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.